Golf's no different from hockey. Requires talent, self-discipline.
Golf requires goofy pants and a fat ass. You should talk to my neighbor, the accountant, probably a great golfer, huge ass.
How do you measure yourself with other golfers?
By height.
It's a very, very special honor.
I'm Paula Creamer, and you're listening.
Well, we're waiting.
Hi, this is Martin Cove, a.k.a. John Kreese from Cobra Kai. And you're listening to...
Quiet, please.
Sorry. Let the word go out from here across the land that Danny Noonan approved.
Hiya, boys. Nice day for golf, eh?
Quiet, please. Oh, you got secrets, eh?
Hey, this is Shooter McGavin. You're listening to the...
Hey, you guys. Hey, we're trying to have a podcast over here.
Welcome once again to Quiet, Please, the golf podcast. I'm Alan DePue, and this is our unscripted, unrehearsed... gathering around living room sofas. Guys, we're on take two because I putted like Rory at Pinehurst down the final three holes the first one. But anyway, okay.
Too soon.
I am wearing my cradle hat, albeit beaten up from doing yard work. It became the driving range. I'm joined, as always, by the leaning in, Mr. Andy Heidorn to my left. Hello.
Go Celtics.
Go Celtics boys. We can talk about this week also. To my right, Bourbon Bob Baldessari. Hello, Bobby.
Embarrassed I don't have my Celtics hat on. I'm ashamed.
To my bottom right, Mr. Vernon Elliott. Freelance author, noted golf instructor, and apparently the champ. And as always, the prettiest podcaster in golf, Christian Nizamis. Christian, right out of the gate, do the Oilers get it done tonight?
Oilers get it done tonight. Plus money, they're forcing. This series is going to seven.
Well, real quick, so do you want to jump right there? I mean, we could go there with what
you don't shake your head, Andy. It's going seven.
It's not going six.
I can't even get a word in. You've become like the professional gambler in the group.
Hey, what can I say? When you're good, you're good. Given that I don't know. I mean, mic drop. I don't know what you want me to do. Like, I'm just good at it.
Would you like to share your secrets, or is this the part like I was texting where I go unhinged?
There is no secret to sports betting. I mean, I don't think there is, personally. There probably is a secret. I don't really know the answer to it, but I do it for fun. Thankfully speaking, I have been very good at it lately. But I focus on sports that I know, and I don't really just do that to, like, you know, I'm not betting thousands of dollars. I bet, like, $20, you know, $10, stuff like that. But, yeah, it's fun to get a little action in on some sports. Celtics were good to me last night.
There is a secret to sports betting, and it's be on the big side.
True.
So for anyone that's not in our group text, B.E. and Christian keep sharing their latest bets. And how'd that work out for you, B.E.?
I was about 1,000 for the week, but I'm, like Christian said, I only do sports I know, and I only know one sport, and that's golf. So, but there's tricks. I think there's tricks, like, especially for me, I went back to 2014. I looked at what the scoring average was each of the four rounds. I took into account weather. I knew it was going to get crusty over the weekend. You look at stats of the guys, the last couple events throughout the year. If you do enough research, you can do pretty good. And if you're not stupid, like I was on Sunday, you could do even better.
Andy, that's way more than analysis than I probably ever have done on sports betting.
Yes, I think that's going deep. But clearly it's working for Mr. Elliott and Mr. Nizamis as well. So good for them.
Bobby, you want to talk about your beloved Celtics title town?
Yeah, I'm wearing a little green, but I forgot my hat, and I went to look for my hat, and I've got about five Celtics hats that are still packed away. But that was, I was going to say that for the end, the 18th hole, get it? 18th hole, 18th banner, 18th championship.
18th green.
18th green.
18th yeah. green.
Are you boys surprised that Tatum did not win MVP? I've been seeing some mixed things on social media today about it.
No, I mean,
six of one, half a dozen of the other.
True.
The whole team played well. You could have given it out to 3-4 guys. I mean, it was a good team effort.
I agree. Are we talking a repeat?
Yeah. Heck yeah.
Oh yeah.
Right here. I'm gonna get in the bet right now.
We're talking 6-peat.
I think $5 down on that, Christian.
What?
Throw down 5 on that. That thing's got to pay off big.
Hey, if Bourbon Bob tells me to do something, I'm throwing down more than $5 on it, all right?
Take it for next year, yes. After that, I don't know. Then the core and salary caps and everything get crazy. So I think one more year.
I hear Coach Dick is coming to coach next year, and it's going to be the start of a 6-peat.
Christian, I'm getting to think you're like Biff in Back to the Future. What was that, number 2 or 3 where he found the sports almanac?
Yeah.
Yeah. Chris has got nothing. He's got nothing.
I got nothing.
Dude, that movie was like 15 years probably before he was born. Maybe 10.
Wow.
Got nothing, Doug. I'm sorry. No.
He's like Biff.
I don't get
what the hell are you talking about? Christian had this blank stare on his face.
I'm not speechless often, but it's one of those moments.
Okay, can I rant now?
Let's go.
All right. This is like, don't be that guy on steroids. Okay. We're obviously a golf show. Many of us run golf courses, have been around the golf industry forever. I'm just going to say this. It's busy. Father's Day weekend is busy. You have a lot of people out there. Keep the pace of play moving. Don't show up with your case of beer, because I wouldn't show up at Outback Steakhouse with a case of beer expecting that I'm going to go out and play golf. And you know what? Stop the entitled bullshit, because golf course operators don't like you, bro.
That's how you really feel.
I was blown away this weekend. We had an amazing weekend. Golf course is in spectacular shape. Shout out to the entire team. But wow, Andy, bro.
Yeah, you know how I feel about golf bros.
Black tees when they should be playing 2 tees up.
Yep.
Again, I've never seen it. Case of beer walking from the parking lot, and I'm like. Really? Well,
the worst part is this. The drunker they get by the middle part of the back nine, that's when they think that it's time to start really getting crazy with the bets. And then once that happens, the pace of play slows down to nothing and they don't give a sweet shit.
We have a very distinctive group of people that like to play there. And they like to work every single angle and lots of distractions when they come to the counter. Let's just say that. And this particular group sat there, looked like they were having a frat party in our pub. And then they come into the golf shop at the end of the day, last tee time, 527, it's 527. And Brendan, they walk up, they go, "Yo, dude. We got 4 groups out there. What if I just give you $25 and you just let it go play nine?"
Put it in your pocket.
And I'm like, how about I just tell you that our tee times are done for the day? Is that okay to say, Bobby?
Was it your course that I saw on Golf Scumbag on Instagram where there was a 4-on-4 fist fight? Was that it?
That was not our golf course, but our golf course, the same group that runs all together, course just north of us, they were stupid enough to go on TikTok or Instagram, one of them on an open page, showing them driving across the greens, breaking the flag sticks, and everything else. Yeah, no. And they put that shit out on social media. So as an old dude, old bro, here's another word of advice. Don't put shit on social media. You're an idiot.
No way. Did they really?
Oh, yeah. And this particular group, they didn't like our answers, so they cursed out our staff. They really liked me. And then went out to the parking lot in their big paving pickup trucks, and they burned out their tires. I could put the video up with smoke looking like, I mean, I don't want to make the comparison to burning buildings, but I mean, come on. It there was so much smoke in my parking lot, it looked like a forest fire.
Ridiculous.
That is ridiculous.
I think every club, we all go through it. We all think it almost might be our own club. That can't be happening in Allen's, can't be happening here and there. It happens everywhere. It happened in Washington on Saturday. No cases, but same template, same type of thing. I've been seeing it for 30 years in the business. I can't figure it out. It's like people lose their mind when they drive into a golf course and they think a golf course is so different, all hell can break loose in some of these places. It's crazy.
I guess that my rant, I told you I was going to rant. My rant is, it's like, come on, we're a business, we're recreation, it's entertainment. And at what point does your entertainment, I guess you would call it that, infringe on the enjoyment of other people? BE, any thoughts?
You know, I don't know what the solution is, because it truly is a double-edged sword. When you talk about the good, which is the cash register continuing to ring, but at what point do you say that's not worth it? That extra couple thousand dollars, is it worth it or is it not worth it? And that's a hard question to answer when you have to answer to ownership and the powers that be, right?
Absolutely. And Christian, I turned my back on that extra $25 a man. By the way, they went outside and told the starter that they'd give him 50.
Hey, you can throw the $25 down the Celtics to win next year. You know, that could have been your bet right there.
Could have.
Just saying.
And Bobby, how did you say it? The carnage? What did you say? How did you describe the golf course?
Which one?
You said it can't happen at other people's golf courses, but the chaos. Chaos and mayhem at the golf course?
Yeah, I think, you know, talking to PGA pros, operators around the country, they think they're in a bubble and it happens at their club, but this stuff happens everywhere. It doesn't really matter what club it is. It happens. I've been at some of the nicest clubs and some guys just lose it. They lose their mind. If there's something weird about the borderline, about entering a golf course that some bright, enterprising young people or successful guys just go brain dead.
And that's why a lot of women out there don't like their boyfriends playing golf, because it gets a bad name because of stuff like this.
Exactly. And chaos and mayhem reigned supreme, Andy Heidorn.
Yeah.
In the Sand Hills.
At the Cradle. It definitely did, you know, and I think for all the stuff that we're going to talk about, and, you know, we talked as a group about what to do this week for our show, and this is a perfect opportunity to just have the five of us so we can go through all the nuances and all the things that happened at Pinehurst.
And our individual takes on it, because I got words. Yeah. I know Christian's got words.
We all have words.
So, Andy, you got the floor. Go for it.
Well, I mean, as you know, I am proudly a Rory fan. And it was devastating to see what happened to Rory. And I want to make this one point, because people were talking about, how could he miss those putts and this and that. And I get it. The putt he missed on 16 was really bad. It was a bad stroke. He yanked it. He kind of jerked at it a little bit. Putt he hit on 18, I've seen it now 50 times. It was not a bad putt at all. I mean, he started it 3 inches left of the hole. It had the right speed. Just halfway to the hole, it bumped. It hit something and just dove right. So I don't... I don't necessarily look at that last putt by Rory as being a failure on his part. That's the rub of the green, if you will. It's the breaks of golf. It hit something and popped offline. But I'll say this too. You know, you talk about Bryson missed a really bad putt, I want to say on 14 or 15. I forget what hole it was. He missed a really bad, bad putt. But like the hole before that, he also had another 3.5-4 footer that he should have missed. And he kind of weakly yanked it in the left side of the hole. So let's not say that Rory's a failure and you know, Bryson's not, because, you know, he's the champ. He's a deserving champ. I think we've all talked about how he's growing on all of us. I think everybody agrees with that. But
Bryson, you know, 3.0.
Yeah. I think it's a little bit inaccurate to say that you know, Rory absolutely gave it away and failed, because it's the difference between lipping that putt in that Bryson did and Rory lipping that putt out.
We're going to save the crowds till last, because I got to get set Christian up for that one. But B.E., did Rory start to go off? And we're going to see Andy lean in on my statement. Did Rory start to go off when he blew it over the green on the par three? You think that he went, oh, shit, I'm going to start collapsing?
Maybe a little bit. I mean, people can say what they want about him being a choker. I don't see that. I agree with Andy. I don't see that at all. And what I'd said in our group text, and I think Christian got my point wrong, what I was saying in the group text is, I think it's just as hard to be in the mix as much as he is, as it is to win it. And you look at the stats that I shared with you guys about Nicholas was top five 56 times and Nicholas was top 10 73 times. And if you want to take that and say he was a choker because he only won 18 majors, that's the bar that we set in golf for major championships, is 18 major championships. Winning is freaking hard. And when you're winning, I think Tiger's percentage was 20-some percent winning percentage overall throughout his career, 22, 23%, something like that. And then Hogan was just over 20%, and then nobody else was over 20% in their career. That proves right there that golf's hard. That proves that pressure is – anybody can feel the pressure. And I don't think Rory's done by any stretch of the imagination. I love what he wrote on social media. You know, he's got to take some time. We'd all take some time. Shit, most of us would probably pack our clubs away for a year if we lost our club championship by missing a short putt or give the game up completely. He's just going to keep putting himself in the arena, and he's going to be fine. He's going to be fine.
Bobby, you head shook acknowledgement on the pumped up 7-iron on 15.
I did. I was watching and I turned to my son and I said, in tournament play where that pin was right there, I said, you would never see Tiger or Nicholas or Watson or anybody. Nicholas probably would have left it on the front fringe. Like, he, I think, would have known my odds of making three there are better than over the green. And granted, he went into that crappy little lie, but I swear to God, I sat right there and I said, that's not a good, it's not a good break. It's not a good play. I just thought that was the beginning of the end. And I just thought, you know, those putts, like Andy said, I mean, sometimes you misread, you mishit it, it goes in. Other times, absolute perfect read, absolute perfect. You know, you put the pure stroke, something happens, it doesn't go in. I mean, it's really crazy. You know, I was finding myself early in that round rooting for Bryson, and then Corey's making his move, and I went, oh, come on, let's get it done, Corey. I'm like, finally, oh, Rory, let's finally get it done. And then he had those misses. I thought, oh, my God. Just even on 18, I wondered, you know, do you hit 7-iron off the tee just to keep it in play? I don't know.
I said all along that somebody asked me in the golf shop that morning, they said, who's going to win? I said, Bryson's either going to beat himself or Rory. I mean, you got the sense it was going to be a those two in particular were going to be there at the end of the day. Christian, bad breaks. I could call two of them one on the par five where Rory hits it in the center of the green, it rolls 30 yards off, and that was number five. And then obviously, yeah, it rolled down on where it rolled down on 15. I know we're talking about two particular holes out of 72, but how your thoughts on Pinehurst, just in general?
Oh God, it's spectacular. How do you say anything bad about it? Like, I love the style of the golf course personally. I love the layout of it. I think the USGA did a phenomenal job last week in particular. I thought, yeah, it was firm, it was fast. That's how everybody likes it. That's how a US Open should be, right? I think that they did a great job, and I know that there's a lot of more USGA events happening there. So yeah, I really took my hat off to the grounds crew as well for doing an absolute just tremendous job all week.
Andy, having played in USGA type events and what have you, golf course thoughts?
Yeah, I'm not totally on board with the whole Pinehurst number two thing. Maybe it's not a fair reason, but it just seems like there's a lot of luck involved in the way they redid that golf course. So, you know, they were talking all week about how most of the time you hit it in those natural areas, you're getting a good lie. And people don't realize that Rory's shot, his second shot on the 72nd, the issue was not getting to the back of the ball. The issue was that his ball couldn't get up and through that wire grass that was right in front of him.
Played number two. And I think back to when Keimer won, because I think that was the first year that they had made the switch over. Keimer lit the place up because the wire grass hadn't been really growing in. But there is a lot of randomness to it. But is that a fair to say about the U.S. Open being held there when you have the Open Championship with some randomness? Or is it more strategic at the Open Championship?
Yeah, I don't think it's the same. I don't think it's the same.
Shall we bring in our resident historian to ask that same question?
Well, how to word this one. I think there's randomness every time you tee it up. You know, it just gets amplified when there's money on the line and then there's a national championship on the line. But there's been a lot of instances of some crazy stuff along the way. I played a few of the golf courses at Pinehurst. I haven't played Pinehurst too. I played over in Scotland. A lot of courses, you know, depending on the setup, there can be some randomness. There can be a crazy bounce. I think you do need, it could be NHL playoffs going on right now. Could be a funny bounce, a fluky bounce, wins the game. There's probably randomness in everything. Just it gets amplified under the gun. Look what happened to Bryson on when I turned to my son when he's against that tree branch. And I said, I think he's going to shank this right. Do I just chip it? And then he swings at it. It goes right. And I said, I just knew it was going to happen. That bunker shot he hit, I get in there and my wife thinks I'm crazy because any of us golfers, we remember these shots all our lives. And he gets in there and I said, oh, I'm thinking of, Hatherley, Andy, Mass Open qualifier. I won a playoff in 90, I think, hitting this long bunker shot into the sun to basically 1 foot. I'll never forget. Every time I'm in a long bunker shot, I think of Hatherley. I think of that bunker shot. I just rely on those good vibes. And I wondered if Bryson gets in there and he's thinking, oh, you know, I've hit these long bunker shots before. I think in the interview afterwards, he said he was just trying to hit this massive chunk and run. It worked out great.
B.
So I got a different take on the course. It's more of the sustainability end of things. And the USGA kind of uses this championship to showcase some of the other stuff that people don't necessarily know that they do. And one of that is all the research they put into sustainability. I mean, let's face it, here in the US, we're kind of spoiled with green everywhere. And that's not traditional golf. I mean, you go over the pond, Andy's played over in Europe, and a couple of you, Bobby's played over there. AD, you've been over UK?
I have not. I've been told that I'd have to schedule the trip for next summer. But
yeah. And I think this idea of less green is something that should be embraced, especially with, you know, water issues and other things that we face as operators and those that maintain the golf course. So I like things from that perspective. But like Andy said, at the same time, the randomness sometimes is unfair, but then again, that's golf, I guess.
So I look at, there's the educated, these guys have got the golf course mapped out, obviously, right down to the foot. You take the road hole, for example, they know that if they get it, they have to clear, you know, how much to carry to get to X. So it doesn't roll, probably funnel back into the road hole bunker or whatever the case may be. Where I think the randomness is negative and it's negatively impacting the championship is that shot on that he hits on number five, which he hits it to the center of the green. The ball is in the middle of the freaking green and it ends up 30 or 40 yards off the green. And I don't have a problem with that because he would have known how far he had to carry it to get it there. I have a problem with more so that it rolls into basically looks like a footprint. And he's left with an insane golf shot around a bunker that probably could come back and be at his feet. That's where I think there's, and Bobby, you're dead on. I mean, the cup playoffs go at Edmonton. There could be a bounce of a puck today that in tonight's game that affects the outcome of the entire Stanley Cup. So that's my only critique and negative of number two. Anybody want to challenge that?
Well, even look at number one, for example. Like, I mean, you look at Mark Hubbard, 7:30 in the morning. I think it was a Friday or Saturday. I think it was Saturday morning. Hits it to 3 feet right below the hole, and he had not much spin on the ball, and it literally rolled off the green, and he ended up making bogey. Same with Xander.
Who was it that hit? I think hit the flag stick on one and made seven.
Oh, that was Sepp Straika. He made the hole on one. Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, that's happening for you. Yeah, you hit the flag and you get the crazy weird bounce and you're like, what the heck? It's crazy.
So here's the next one, Mr. Hyadorn. We've talked about Rory. We've talked about Pinehurst. We haven't talked about the guy who's holding the trophy right now, holding the hardware. Bryson, I said 3.0 because Bryson 1.0 to me was the guy that came out of college. 2.0 is when he became, you know, bulked up. And now he's somewhere fallen back in between and suddenly realized that, hey, I can be engaging. And dare I say, as engaging, watch BE get sideways over this, as he is engaging and swashbuckling as the legendary Mr. Palmer.
So you want me to go on this one?
I would love you because Brendan's contemplating what I just said right now.
So he's leaning in.
I definitely, like we've said many times, I've definitely said that he's growing on me. It's official. He's grown on me. I think his enthusiasm, his, you know, energy, his golf game, like, I'm all in. I think, you know, he's a great part of golf. And it's great to see that there are a couple times every year that he's going to play with the rest of the great golfers in the world too.
Well, Christian Nizamis, who, and I could probably still find quotes or text messages. I hate him. I despise him.
Yeah, I did back in the day. But Andy and I both did. Yep. I mean, we both despised him when the first came out. So I've come a huge way on him, to be honest. I actually, you know, I think Rory said it perfectly in his message. Bryson's what golf needs right now. I mean, like, I truly believe that. I think you couldn't ask for two better outside of Scotty. I think Rory and Bryson are the two, like, they're the top three likable guys, most rooted for guys, I think, right at this very second on tour, right? I know Bryson's at Live, you know, and all that stuff, but I mean, the guy's top. He's top five in the world. I mean, I'm sorry, but he is he's earned it. I mean, I even think, and I don't know if we're going to get into it or not, but he should be on the Olympic team. I think you can make arguments over Colin. You can definitely make an argument over Wyndham Clark. So I'm going to say that he should be on the team. So.
Oh.
Andy's shaking his head.
Andy's gearing up.
Not the Wyndham Clark thing.
Bobby, before I got a hold of him apart, you got anything on Bryson? I'm still skipping BE.
Yeah, I have always had a respect for Bryson as a player. I mean, wins the U.S. Amateur, what he's done in his career, the bulking up. I think, you know, well, Brennan and I talked about this last night a little bit, but, you know, in his own way.
Where were you last night?
Plug, go ahead, B.E.
Oh, shameless plug for Golf Live?
Shameless plug.
Golf Live app. I do a live stream, one take. So if we screw up the beginning. and it's called Monday Evening Tea Time. Monday Evening Tea Time. And I'm just going to announce it now since we're talking about it. My guest next week, I'm inviting Alan Depew to be my guest next week.
Yeah. Wide camera angle.
Like, so for Bryson, so I just think that he embraced in his own way trying to be an innovator, trying to be a leader. You know, everybody takes it differently as far as if somebody wanted to be a leader, innovator, you're going to take it your own way. You know, I think he's matured. Everything he's gone through is going to change somebody. I think it shows good growth. I think there's something also. I was trying to think of the perfect analogy, but in baseball, the two leagues never played each other. And you always wondered about, you know, when you'd see somebody play. And then they started the interleague thing. And it's almost like a little bit of now Bryson. You don't see him as much. And when you see him, it's even more special versus years ago when it was just say you'll only see somebody in the World Series. So there's just something. First, I was going to say it's sort of like a fun girlfriend you see now and then, and you could take little doses. I don't know if that's perfect.
Whoa,
Pam.
Where'd she go?
I gotta edit that, Bobby. All right, B. Is he the reincarnation of Arnold Palmer?
I'm going to stop short of that because I love Arnie and I do like Bryson quite a bit. But I'm going to throw a question out before I get into my take on this. How many of the panel have watched Bryson's YouTube channel? Watch any of the stuff that he's been doing?
I only caught the one with Paige Sprint.
Okay. Well, he's doing some cool stuff and it made me think, especially this actually back at the PGA, I started thinking about this. He has the ability now because of Liv, and again, I'm not a fan whatsoever of Liv, but he does have that ability that we don't see from all the guys on the tour to just be himself and say and do what he wants to do in social media. Those other guys can't do that, that are on the PGA Tour. So this is what's brought out this new Bryson that we're being able to see.
That is an amazing take on it. You're absolutely correct.
Yeah, I mean, and it the only thing that I was a little upset with Bryson is he had an opportunity, a real opportunity, to kind of speak on the Live PGA Tour situation and to kind of change people's thoughts and minds on bringing these guys back together. We all love seeing the Live guys competing with the rest of the tour guys in the major championships. We can throw all that other stuff out the window with whether you care about Liv or the money with Liv or whatever. It's just really cool seeing the best players on the planet playing together. And you don't see a lot of animosity between those guys. We've talked about that, you know, before on the show. These guys are still friends with a lot of them are still friends with each other, still play a lot of golf with each other when they're at home. And I think Bryson missed an opportunity to kind of talk a little bit more about these guys coming together. But I'm a fan. I'm a fan of everything that he's been doing the last year or so.
Andy, does it say anything that, you know, two out of the last 7 majors are being hoisted by LIV guys?
Says nothing.
Okay. There you go. I guess it says nothing.
I mean, you know what it says? That Brooks and Bryson are great players.
Yep.
It says nothing about LIV or the PGA Tour, for that matter. It's just Brooks and Bryson are great players still.
That's a great point. What Andy said, that's a really good point, because this has nothing to do with LIV versus PGA Tour. It's two of the better golfers on the planet that continue to care about major championships.
Exactly.
But Christian, does it have everything to do with USA? USA.
USA. Oh, that's just stupidity. I mean, that's just dumb. That's like,
they were the same guys that brought the case of beer onto my golf.
It's just uncalled for. It's just, I don't know if like the PGA's, I mean, how do you stop that from happening? Do you know, you can't. Like, I mean, you can't, if you can put something in effect, but I looked at Allison after that and I was like, that's just stupid. I mean, that was just blatant embarrassment. You know, if I was there, I'd probably say something to the people, but like, it's just, why? I mean, for Christ's sake, it's like, that's just, the guy just missed a 3-foot putt to literally, arguably, probably going to a playoff. You know, his heart's crushed. It's like, come on, shut the hell up and move on. Like, there's no need for it.
Bobby, they were clearly chanting the U.S. Open. So that was reason, right?
Oh, yeah. Well, I was going to say, maybe, yeah, I agree with Manny. It's not a LIV thing, but I think Is it 7 of the last major champions, all United States players? So there's a bit of a trend there. That's the bigger trend, that it comes and goes. You know, over time, you get these trends of a lot of Europeans winning a row or throwing Norman or Australian players. But right now, there's been a trend, a lot of American players winning the majors. So I think it's 7 in a row, maybe. So maybe there's something there.
So I'm going to go dark here for a little second. And the thing that bothers me the most here is I get the feeling that it's becoming almost tribal, like our politics are tribal, right? And it seems like there's a certain group that's going to stick with the LIV thing, that's going to be obnoxious USA. You know, I don't like it. There's no need for it. And to me, it's pretty cliche and it's pretty lame that people just fall in the line when it comes to stuff like this. And I see that this is part of what's going on with that.
I can't get in the head of the idiots in the stands, but I think they were making the chance simply because Rory's from Ireland and Bryson's from USA, and that was my impression of it. And Rory's lived here for how many years, B.E.?
Oh, all these Euro guys live here. Yeah. A lot of them in Florida. So, like, I don't understand that whatsoever.
Classless. There's no need for it. Zero, like, nothing. Like, if any of those people that were yelling at him, USA, that were in his shoes in that moment, I mean, I thought Rory handled it well, all things considered. Obviously, maybe also, what is Rory going to say, you know, in that moment? That was the last thing on his mind, you know? So it was an embarrassment. There's no other way of saying it.
I think those are the same guys that are practicing for Bethpage for the Ryder Cup.
But again, isn't this like a larger conversation? Like, people are embarrassing anyway. The people that are at Allen's golf course.
You know,
I mean, people are embarrassing. It's sad to watch, but we're really being overtaken by you know,
stupidity,
outrageousness and loudness, and it's pathetic.
It's the clickbait / likes / how outlandish can I get to maybe go viral generation.
Yeah.
And when I say generation, I'm not saying, because there's gray hair guys out there that are just as stupid as young bros.
Yep.
And it's all these memes too that we've seen about Rory missing the putt. I mean, let's grow up a little bit, you know? I mean, I feel for him And I think anybody with half a brain would feel bad that someone lost a major championship, especially a guy like Rory, who's the who seemingly seems like, you know, one of the nicer guys on tour. Why would you just stoop to that immediately? What makes your brain go right to that?
It's what Alan just said. It's clickbait. I think sometimes people even forgot how brave they are behind a keyboard. They forgot that sometimes they're out in the public still and they're acting like they're behind the keyboard. And
yeah.
It's pathetic.
And that's when they get their ass kicked. Christian, you're leaning in.
Oh, no. What I was going to say is that I'm all for, like, after somebody tees off, like, get in the hole, like, you can yell certain things, right? I think if some of it is funny, right?
You can't yell mashed potatoes, though. You can't yell that.
I'm just saying, like, it's to an extent, though, is what you need to be. Like, that's not what the name – that's not what golf is. Golf is not that, right? Golf is a lot more professional than that. You know what I mean? Like, people should be holding themselves more accountable on a golf course than – everything that we've talked about today, basically. I mean, there's no need to get blackout drunk on a golf course. There's no, and I get if you want to go to a major championship or a PGA event, it's all fun and games to have a couple of drinks and walk around in the heat, whatever. But just shut the hell up. Like, there's.
Hey, Andy.
Yes.
Maybe the new way could be somebody yells roasted potatoes with a little bit of olive oil, Parmesan cheese, a little oregano. It's slightly tossed.
It's very refined.
Yes.
Like the golf consumer should be. Very refined.
I'm fearful that the waste management is becoming the US Open, which will be then the Ryder Cup at Bethpage.
100%. But you look at Canada, what Canada did, that was tasteful. I like what they did on that par three with the boards
from everybody. I mean,
I thought that didn't go overboard, and I thought that was fun. Like they were totally different than what we saw in Phoenix on that hole, in my opinion.
That's Canada. They're nicer.
Sorry.
Because obviously the waste management's a problem, right? I mean, we talked about it right after the tournament this year, right? Like, when is the PGA, are they going to make a policy that puts into effect of, like, certain, like, what are you going to put into effect, though? You know what I mean? What are you going to up your security to throw out anybody that yells something stupid?
It's not the PGA, though. It's not the PGA tour.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
It's literally the world, it's society.
Of course, but there's going to be, like you said, Andy, like there's a group of people out there, let's just say it's 5% of the people or whatever, that loved what those guys did to Rory, yelling USA and USA, right? And all this stuff. But, you know, I don't agree with it. It's just not right.
Sorry, Bobby, go ahead.
Well, I was going to say, Alan, here's a historical note. In the 1930s in a PGA magazine, it's reported that the game is going in the toilet, and I have the magazine to show you, because golfers are not wearing jacket and tie any longer, and the dress code is affecting in a negative way the mannerisms and the genteel nature of the game of golf. So just fast forward that commentary to now, it's sort of the same template.
You just got to see the Swanee hot dog shirt I have in the golf shop, though.
There you go.
I believe Bryson's worn a bow tie to play golf before.
I believe he has. I want to change as we're coming closer to the 18th tee, we'll say. I want to throw out your thoughts, especially you learned golfers that you are, and instructors. Pavone, and then my other one that I put in our text group, thank God Cantlay was not playing with Bryson. They would not play finish till Monday. I thought that was a pretty good line. But did you ever have a sense that Patrick Cantlay had a chance to win?
No.
No.
Not really.
Didn't stand a chance literally at all on Sunday.
Tell everybody backed up to him.
Yeah, I mean, he didn't do anything for three straight days. I mean, he shot 65 in the first round, and then he literally did nothing from there. I mean, like, if he shot literally 3 under and then played even par, it's his.
I mean, at the start of the day, I was looking more at like Finau to be one of the outsiders coming in, or Pavone. I thought that, But Aberg was the one that surprised me of the group that was outside of those, you know, top two or three. I was just shocked how he played over the weekend.
Well, he made the big mistake, and then it doesn't look like he ever rebounded from that. No. But I am so high on that kid. I think he hoists the major in the next 3 years.
Yep.
So Finau, Brendan, I'm glad you mentioned him. I believe he finished third.
Yeah.
And his performance, you know, on Sunday, I think he bogeyed two of the first three holes.
Yes.
Two over early. And shot 67. Like, what a great tournament. He seemed to have found something. And with him, it's with the putter.
Oh, yeah.
But what a great performance by Tony Finau.
Yeah.
Well, so was this week answered? Was it the putters or was it the drivers that had more success? That was the big question going in. I got to believe it's the guys who, because it was so wide open, there wasn't penal when you hit it into the native areas. I think it was the guys that could just hit it deep and hit it anywhere.
Yeah.
Go ahead, Matt.
No, I think the fairways are generous. The wire grass, you could still look at Bryson. He kept getting fortunate circumstances. But in general, you looked at the Bryson's fairways hit versus the typical, you know, you got to really drive it in play. Some of these U.S. Opens, you're 1 foot off the fairway, you're screwed. That wasn't the case there. I still think it was approach shots. I think it was iron play. Almost like Augusta, controlling the iron play, controlling the spin, controlling distance, and then certainly you got to make some putts.
Well, Ross's courses are typically second shot golf courses.
Yep.
Yes. Yep. But then you look at Cantley's first round, though. I'm trying to pull it up here to see the stats, but 24 putts can silence anything else that you do during the round. I don't think he hit very many fairways or greens that day, and he shoots 65 with 24 putts. So I don't know. It's like the chicken and the egg. Is it off the tee or is it making putts?
Well, it's to me, though, I think that's a great point. But to me, it's the low number of putts is a direct correlation to how hard it is to hit greens there, right?
True.
So many times guys are just trickling off the edge and running down. The guys who can chip, you know, are going to have a lot of short one putts. But I would love to see the stats on what the average greens and regulation was for the week, because, I mean, there's a lot of good shots that end up not on the green at Pinehurst number two.
Yeah, I was going to say that, like, when it came, obviously, Bryson had a major advantage on a lot of these holes, right? I think Rory hit 6-iron on 15 on Sunday, and Bryson hit an wedge. 8 or wedge.
Eight iron.
Like, well, either way, I mean, he can spin that a lot easier with an 8 or a lower lofted club than he could have 6. But I will say, I think that round for Bryson on Sunday, he did not have his best stuff. I said it in our group chat. Rory was the best golfer on the golf course on that day for 15 holes, unfortunately. But what I will say, though, is that Bryson, if he does not get up and down as many times as he did in the course of that round on throughout 18, I thought that was a treat to be like some of the spots that he was in. You don't get up and down. I mean, if you gave him another 10 balls, 100 balls from 50 yards away on 18 in the circumstances that he was in, I don't know if he gets up and down half the time. I mean, like.
But to your point, Christian, that's who always wins the U.S. Open.
100%. No, my hat's off to him. I mean, like, that was incredible.
The guy who's getting like, up and down, the guy who's making.
Yeah. Because on Sunday, Bryson, I think we can all agree. I think Bryson hit his driver like shit, personally. He hit terribly. And I think he would even admit that too, right? Especially on the back nine.
Well, he caved in the face of his driver, right?
Yeah, he did. But like, I think half of those up and downs that he had were just like, you watch that and I'm like, we're all golfers. And I'm like, it's just incredible how he did that. So
yeah, he's underrated for his short game by the general underrated. Public. For the knowledgeable golfer, they know how good he is.
Yeah, but Bryson's been changing the game since LIV. I mean, since I think he's been changing it when he was going to the long drive contest, because now you see guys that want to hit the ball farther. I mean, he's at a massive advantage any tournament he goes to because, again, just hitting irons, for example, he can hit a pitching wedge 190 yards, which is unheard of, right?
But it's – come on now. His golf clubs are not comparable to other golf clubs. They're not.
True.
Like his pitching wedges.
They're not legal. They're not illegal though. I mean, what I mean.
I get that. I get that. But his pitching wedge is the same length as his six iron. The loft.
It seems to be working.
I'm not saying it's not working. I'm just saying if you start talking about the numbers on the clubs that he hits, it's not relevant. It's not. It's just
true.
Even for a lot of tour players,
what is relevant is what you said, Christian. Is his golf is relevant, and he's great. But yeah, the clubs are another.
Bobby, 18th green. Bryson easily could have knocked it into the deuce, without question. But on our 18th green, you get your final thoughts.
Final thought is I'm gonna start with Bryson. I got two thoughts. I'll get to that. So Bryson, you know, great performance, but when he was coming off the green, he was pointing to the Payne Stewart little ball marker on his hat. I mean, that was such a nice touch when he was talking about Payne throughout the week. And when Payne Stewart went to SMU, Bryson went to SMU, and Payne wore the hat, and Bryson was wearing the hat. I mean, just all the things that the symmetry of with Payne Stewart, I just thought was really, really neat. And I thought it was amazing what Bryson did afterwards, hanging with the crowds, signing the autographs, going out to Johnson Wagner on that golf channel with hitting the bunker shot. I mean, that was just, the whole thing was really neat. And of course, I have to finish with the Celtics, Boston Celtics, Celtic pride, winning the 18th championship, best, the most winningest NBA franchise. And I got to leave you with a real quick story from Weston Golf Club, WESTON, Weston Golf Club, just outside of Boston. John Havlicek was a member there. Hondo, great Celtic, Celtic pride. One day I'm in the Cape Club. It's the men's only grill at the time. And everybody's around the big circle table. And Havlicek's in there. And they're all having lunch. And the members are chatting. And I'm in there as an assistant pro. And then one day, so I'm in there. And the guys are getting ready to leave. And John Havlicek says, I'll see you on the first tee. And he leaves. And all of a sudden I hear one of the members go, you know, like, hey, Joe, pass the salt. And everybody goes, where's the salt? No, he goes, the salt. Oh, my God, Havlicek stole the salt. He stole the salt. Havlicek stole the salt. So one guy in his best Johnny Most Celtics announcer, like, I will never forget that. It was so funny. But, you know, I think of some of the Celtics I've met over the years. Great team. I'm glad for JT and JB to get the monkey off their back.
There was another kind of famous Boston sports guy that was a member at Weston too, right?
Yeah, he played hockey number four. I played a little golf with him. Yeah.
Okay. That guy, yeah.
That guy.
Andy, to you.
Okay, so I want to talk a little bit about, you know, the criticism about Rory leaving before he could, you know, kind of acknowledge Bryson in person. And And there's a lot of people out there that are, you know, comparing Rory leaving to Bryson staying and congratulating Xander. But let's be real. At the end of the day, these guys are doing things for themselves, right? I mean, they're doing things for themselves. So, you know, Rory was crushed. You know, he was probably feeling lower than low. And he decided to leave. And they said on the radio today that, you know what, Patrick Cantlay, Tony Finau, nobody else was around to congratulate Bryson either.
Sergio. Right?
So let's not pile on Rory. And, you know, talking about Bryson sticking around to congratulate Xander, Bryson wants to be part of the group. You know, he doesn't get to be around much. He was proud of himself for his performance at Valhalla, finishing second. And you know what? He wanted to soak in the moment. So it's all about the person. It's about what it is that they're feeling, what they want to do, what makes them feel better. So it doesn't make Bryson a better person for sticking around or Rory a worse person for leaving.
Agreed.
Christian.
So final thoughts for me is we didn't even touch upon this in the show, was that I hope that it's not Tiger Woods' last US Open. Personally speaking, I think he's definitely had a limited schedule. Obviously, as we all know. But I mean, it sucks to watch it because, you know, the guy can hit the shot still, obviously. But again, it comes down to just putting together four rounds in a row. You know, maybe he can do it next month at the Open. But, you know, it's just sad to see that happening, unfortunately. So I hope that it's not his last one. But, you know, again, just each day, just keep taking care of yourself, take care of each other. And that's my final thought.
B.E.
So Christian gave me a third thing that I'll say real quick. But the first two, KPMG Women's PGA this week, that's going to be fun to watch. This betting, I've really gotten into it, and I don't have a problem. Just anybody, any friends of mine that's listening to this, I don't have a problem. And this is true if you look at my win-loss. But here's the cool thing about it. I've really appreciate all the technology that we have in golf now to watch each player individually, shot by shot, where you can zoom into the green and look at their play-by-play with the tracers and everything, and statistics instantly. I love that stuff. And, you know, that's what's going to help me make an extra couple thousand dollars a month. So with my betting problem. And then my third thing, my betting love, not problem. My third thing, Christian, the Tiger Woods thing. I think Charlie should caddy for Tiger.
I agree.
If Tiger's going to play in a very limited number, I think he should just say, you know what? I'm going to go out there and enjoy these last couple years of playing in major championships, put the kid on the bag, and then who knows what's going to come from that. Some good stuff could happen from that.
I would say he only should caddy for Tiger if Tiger physically knows that he's done. That is the only that I would say that was like his farewell tour. Have Charlie on the bag. No strings attached. He's done everything for the game he needs to do. But right now he's still in that competitive mindset because he thinks that he can win every tournament. So I until that changes, then he should put Charlie in the bag.
All right. Mine, I've got three also, Brent, but mine are, one, if you are listening to us on a podcast, wherever you may be getting your podcast, we appreciate that, obviously. We also have our YouTube channel. So check out our YouTube channel if you'd like to see the prettiest podcaster in golf and four old guys.
Where'd he go?
That he left us.
Christian.
Also check out all of our social channels, Instagram, X, I still call it Twitter, and Facebook. Now into the golf space, I will tell you, Craig Kann, good friend of the show, good friend of a number of us on here, obviously noted sportscaster. He posted on his X, I think it was on Saturday or Sunday. No, it must have been Saturday or Sunday. One of two. What was the best storyline for the week? And for me, Francesco Molinari making a ace to get into the weekend. I mean, I wrote back, I said, Canner, I said, without question, the script is written. He just has to perform and make up 20 shots or whatever crazy number it is. And the last one, a little bit of sentimental here on this, is let's also keep in mind the most important thing for Rory this week. He and his wife and their child are going to be under one house.
Yes.
Keep that in mind, folks. Rory will be fine. Until next time, we bid you adieu.
You only have one opportunity to sell your golf property. Shouldn't you partner with an expert that offers you 30 plus years of golf industry experience combined with the reach of a global leader in real estate? Colliers International Golf Brokerage and Advisory Services understands your unique business needs. Whether it is brokerage, management, and consulting, be reassured that the market leader in the business of golf is providing you the real answers and practical solutions you deserve. Contact Golf Talk Live co-host and Colliers Golf Advisory Services member Alan DePue today at 717 717- 717-554-8519. That's 717-554-8519.